Hey there, welcome to LiveWire. I'm your host, Luke Burbank. We have a very funny show for you this week with some truly hilarious people, including writer, TV creator, and now podcaster, Lindy West, talking about her latest project, Text Me Back, which is a podcast she co-hosts with her actual best friend from high school, Megan Hatcher Mays. Each episode, Lindy and Megan talk about important stuff, but they also talk about the made-up stuff that we tell ourselves, like that maybe a specific overpriced ice cube machine could maybe fix your life. We're also going to find out the one thing that Lindy and Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley have in common. Then we're going to play a game with the always hilarious Paul F. Tompkins. We're going to ask him about other legendary PFTs in the world. Then we are going to get some music from the legendary Ural Thomas and the Pain. Don't go anywhere. It all gets started right after this.
I'm Alex Schwartz.
I'm Nomi Fry.
I'm Vincent Cunningham, and this is Critics at Large, a New Yorker podcast for the culturally curious.
Each week, we're going to talk about a big idea that's showing up across the cultural landscape, and we'll trace it through all the mediums we love: books, movies, television, music, art.
And I always want to talk about celebrity gossip, too.
Of course.
We hope you'll join us for new episodes each Thursday. Follow Critics at Large today, wherever you get podcasts.
This episode of LiveWire is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Hey, Elena.
Hey, Luke. How's it going?
It is going very well this week, mostly because it's time to play a little station location identification examination for a new station in the LiveWire galaxy this week. Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
This is where I quiz Elena on a place in the country where on the radio. She's got to figure out where I'm talking about. The public library in this place is home to what is described as the world's largest ceiling clock, which is like a five-story Foucault pendulum and frieze. It depicts the history of the horse in the bluegrass, and it was designed by a local artist named Adeline Wickman.
Well, horse in the bluegrass gives me a state, without a doubt.
How about, does Calumet Farm help you? This is the horse capital of the world, and it's where Calumet Farm is where Citation and Secretariat were bred, the racehorses.
Is it Lexington, Kentucky?
It is exactly Lexington, Kentucky, where we are now so proud to be on the radio on WUKY in
Woo-hoo!
Lexington, Kentucky.
That's great. I love Lexington. It's a beautiful town. How cool that we're on there now. Hey, guys.
Hey, what up, everyone? All right, should we get to the show?
Let's do it.
All right, take it away.
From PRX, it's
LiveWire!
This week, author Lindy West.
I just feel like my life is chaos, and maybe the source of the chaos is that I'm constantly carrying ice trays to and from the refrigerator.
And comedian Paul F. Tompkins.
I don't want the government telling my kids how to break their wrists.
With music from Ural Thomas and The Pain, and our fabulous house band. I'm your announcer, Elena Passarello, and now, the host of LiveWire, Luke Burbank.
Hey, thank you so much, Elena Passarello. Thanks to everyone tuning in from all over the country, including Lexington, Kentucky. We have a really fun show scheduled for you this week. Of course, we've asked the LiveWire listeners a question because we're talking to Lindy West about her podcast, Text Me Back. We asked our listeners, what is something that gives you your texting ick? We're going to hear the responses to that question coming up in just a little bit. First, though, of course, we got to kick things off with the best news we heard all week. As our little reminder at the top of the show, there is some good news happening out there in the world. Elena, what is the best news that you heard all week?
Okay, this news immediately made me think of you because it is about the Guinness Book of World Records.
An obsession of mine from childhood, really through now.
It was like your favorite book when you were growing up, right?
Oh, yeah. I carried around a tattered copy. I really did. I was so into it.
Well, that tattered copy will need to be altered, Mr. Burbank, because the city of St. Louis has set a new Guinness record. And in fact, St. Louis has snatched a title from a previous record holder, the city of Naperville, Illinois, which held this title for a full 12 years. This is the type of record that requires a bunch of participants. Naperville managed to get together 270 record setters back when they made the Guinness Book back in 2012. But St. Louis just blew them out of the water when they attracted a whopping 355 people. The city of St. Louis is now the record holder for most people wearing underwear on their head at the same time in the same place.
I feel like that record should be preceded by most people to wash their underwear at the same time.
Yes. And, you know, in the photos, these are all the same kind of underwear. They're these kind of whitey tighties. So the photo is great of these 355 people. There's kids, there's teens, there's adults, and they all are just wearing the same cap of glory. So I guess you can't say hats off to St. Louis, but I guess you'd say...
You could say briefs on.
Briefs on.
I don't know if this is any kind of Guinness record, but it was notable to me, the best news that I saw this week. This actually happened a little while ago, but I just found out about it, okay? And it involves a couple of guys, Jose Garcia and his uncle Bartolo Garcia, who were driving from Minnesota out to Merced, California.
Whoa.
And what they were bringing with them were a bunch of goats, actually 50 goats to be specific, that Jose had purchased to bring back to Merced to be part of his goat farm that he had there. And as they were getting close to the end of their long journey, they were passing through Utah, and it just so happened they were going through a real high elevation part where there was a kind of out-of-the-blue snowstorm. And all of a sudden, traffic just basically stopped. And they've got these 50 goats in the trailer. Now, the thing about goats is these are milking goats. They need to be milked like every 12 hours or they will be really uncomfortable. They could develop infections. Like, it's a, you know, it's a thing you got to do is keep these goats regularly milked. Well, it's just Jose and Bartolo. And they're sitting in like that kind of traffic where everyone just stops and gets out of their car and starts putting chains on. I mean, it was like not moving. And they're starting to kind of freak out a little bit because the goats are getting uncomfortable. So eventually traffic starts moving a little bit and they are like looking on their phone or whatever and see that they're coming up on a place called Stansberry Park, Utah, where there is a tractor supply company store, but it is about to close. And they like pull up in the parking lot of this tractor supply store in Utah right as Lisa Fernandez is like closing it. And they're like, hey, have you ever milked a goat? Which I'm going to mention probably not the greatest opening line, generally speaking, when meeting new people. But Lisa says, no, I actually haven't. And they go, would you be willing to learn? And Lisa said, yeah, okay, sure, I'll give it a try. And then they had a follow-up question, which is, do you know anyone else in town who would be willing to come learn how to milk a goat? And she said, well, let me see. So she reaches out to a couple of people who reach out to some other folks who then put it on the Facebook page of the town.
Oh my God.
Basically, goat milkers needed, meet us at the tractor supply store. And they got like 40 people down there.
Wow.
Who all just got like on-site training on how to milk goats, which is there's a sort of a, you know, there's a nuance to it, but there really is, you know, obviously a specific kind of technique. You want to grab the top of the udder with your index finger and thumb, but you want to make sure you don't yank. There's like, you know, this is kind of a little bit of a trick to it. They also didn't have enough buckets. They got all the buckets out of the tractor supply store. So people started bringing supersized soft drink cups.
Oh, no.
And it took until like 11:15 that night, but they got all 50 goats milked. And so the Garcias are very, very thankful to the folks in this town. Now all these people know how to milk goats going forward. In fact, Lisa Fernandez says she can now check goat milking off her bucket list.
I mean, who doesn't have that on their bucket list?
That's it's right. Like right near the top for me, right behind go to St. Louis and put some Fruit of the Loom on my head and set a record. So anyway, people taking care of each other out there in Stansbury Park, Utah is the best news that I heard about all week. All right, let's welcome our first guest on over. Now, she needs no introduction, but when I tried to tell the LiveWire producers that, they accused me of being lazy and not wanting to write an introduction. So fine, here goes. It's just a pretty long list. She's a former contributing opinion writer for the New York Times. She's the author of several books, including the best-selling memoir, Shrill, Notes from a Loud Woman, which she also helped turn into the Hulu show by the same name. And most recently, she has started a new podcast with her best friend, Megan Hatcher-Mays. It's called Text Me Back. And basically, Megan and Lindy get together and kind of laugh and sometimes cry about whatever it is that's going on in this world that we all live in. Lindy West joined us on stage at the Patricia Reeser Center for the Arts in Beaverton, Oregon. Take a listen. Hiya, Lindy.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
You have launched a new podcast along with KUOW in Seattle. It's you and your actual high school best friend, Megan Hatcher-Mays. It's called Text Me Back. What was the concept for the show when you decided you wanted to do it?
The concept was that we want to talk to each other all the time. She lives in Washington, D.C., which is
rude.
And we're just really funny and talented. And I mean, in all honesty, like I've just always thought that Megan was a huge star. And instead of becoming a comedian, she became a lawyer and like went and worked for Congress. And I was always like, ugh, just be a clown like me. Like, so then I finally reeled her in and I forced her into my clown business. And you know, launching a podcast in 2023 is, we're a little behind.
Well, if you listen, but, if you listen carefully, you can hear a podcast being launched right now. And another one. And another one.
Yeah. Yeah. Our timing is incredible. And
but it's so good. I feel like a lot of people, because there are so many podcasts now, a lot of people think, well, I could do a podcast or I should do a podcast. And not all who can podcast should. Put that on my tombstone, by the way. But you and Megan are so unbelievably funny together. And just like, it feels like you're riding along with two, if you were overhearing a conversation between two really funny, smart people, like it's great.
Thank you. What I wanted it to be was people's comfort listen. And originally when we were pitching it through my real podcast agent.
You have a podcast agent?
Well, I have a TV agent and my agency has a podcast department. So they were like, okay, just do this. Mm-hmm. And then, but then they gave us all this advice, like make sure it has a news hook. And so we pitched this whole thing that was like, we're digesting the news and then Megan's going to explain something about Congress. And, and I feel like probably the people we were pitching to could feel us like dying of boredom as we were trying to sell it. And then I just have friends at KUOW, the NPR affiliate in Seattle. And one of them went to high school with me and Megan. And she just one day was like, you and Megan should have a podcast. And I was like, Isolde, I know. And then she was like, well, you can do it here. And then we did. And then we tried to do our old format with Megan Explains Congress, Ask a Swamp Person, we called it. And
that's a pretty good name for that segment.
I know. We're gonna bring it back at some point. But and then the bosses were like, you know what we liked the best was that 10 minutes at the beginning when you just talked about your dogs. And we were like, great, amazing. That's all we want to do. We don't want to do anything that matters.
Well, I will say, though, that because you're both very smart and engaged with the world, while you're having fun and talking, you do naturally arrive at things that are important.
Thank you.
Like the tweets of Chuck Grassley, Republican senator from Iowa, who is, and you two share this, Both of you are very down on the History Channel for not showing more shows that are actually about history.
You know, I don't get it.
No.
I don't get it. I am interested in history. I also have a brain like a cheese, so I retain nothing. And I would love to consume constant history information and let it drain out and then keep consuming it. Yeah. And instead, when I turn on the History Channel, it's just all these cable stations are just like monocultures now, where it's like the Forensic Files station, mm-hmm. which I have no complaints about.
Yeah. No notes.
No notes on that. But like then History Channel is just the Ancient Aliens station.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I have no interest in.
Right. Very loose interpretation of history. That.
And then the Discovery Channel is like finding Sasquatch during the day, and then at night it's finding a ghost. And I like Chuck Grassley.
Who, by the way, this crowd was a little, I think, confused when I said those words in that order. This, let's be honest, fairly old.
90 years old.
90-year-old Republican senator from Iowa is regularly tweeting about how disappointed he is in the History Channel for not showing more things that are, in his idea, history.
The tweets are incredible.
Yeah.
Because they're tweeted by a 90-year-old man, not to be ageist. Sorry, I'm regretting going down this road, but whatever. It's like the tweets are like, why no history on History Channel? Ideas for History Channel tonight. 1, real history. 2, America history. 3, Constitution history. 4, Iowa history. Like, it's so amazing. And, like, this is an evil man who I hate, and I don't agree with him on anything, but I do agree with him on one thing, actually, which is this.
Right. This is LiveWire from PRX. We're talking to Lindy West. This week we're at the Patricia Reeser Center for the Arts here in Beaverton, Oregon. We've got to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to LiveWire. I am your host, Luke Burbank, here with Elena Passarello. We are listening to a conversation we recorded with the author and comedian Lindy West, talking about her podcast, Text Me Back, which she co-hosts with her real-life best friend from high school, Megan Hatcher-Mays. Let's get back to that conversation now. We recorded this live at the Patricia Reeser Center for the Arts in Beaverton, Oregon. Something that you and Megan brought up, I don't know if it's a formal segment or just a thing that you described to each other, but this idea of this will fix you, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Can you expand on that notion?
Yeah, it's a recurring segment. Well, we just started the podcast beginning of the month, so it has not yet recurred, but it's going to recur.
Okay.
It's called I Can Fix Her. And it's about when you look in the mirror and you think about a product you want to buy and you are sure that it will fix her, meaning yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, because that's how capitalism works, is it tells you what's wrong with you and then it offers you a solution that costs $75, which is a small ice maker that you can keep on your kitchen counter and then scoop out shovels of ice for your drinks, which is what I want.
Yeah. That sounds great.
I know.
Why do you think that will fix you? Why you mentioned on the show you think it will help you with your skincare routine.
I just feel like my life is chaos, and maybe the source of the chaos is that I'm constantly carrying ice trays to and from the refrigerator. And who knows if I had that time back, and I just had a little countertop ice machine with a little scoop, and then I would be hydrated. I would do my nighttime skincare routine because of all the time that I saved, and also, like, I just feel like it would bump up my class level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would have, like, a big water.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be hydrated.
Mm. I need to just mention, though, that I purchased one of these. It's the GE Opal, and it did not fix me, girl. I was still me, except now with a very loud unitasker appliance that took up a significant portion of the countertop in my apartment, and it also broke after like 6 months.
No.
And it was like $600.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right.
The problem is,
I think it'll fix me.
There are only like about 3 places that I know of where you can get good ice. One is Sonic, the drive-in. One is Taco Time.
Yep.
Not Oregon Taco Time, my friends. You got to go north to Washington.
No.
And then the hospital.
But
which is a real commitment to get that good ice.
So true, babe. I mean, this is my thinking. You know, yeah. I don't really like drink or party or do anything cool or fun anymore. But when I was in my 20s, like the best part of drinking is the day after when you go to 7-Eleven, you get a fountain Sprite, you get a big gulp.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, that's the me I want to be, you know?
Yes.
I don't want the hangover, but I want the ice. I want the ice. Lou, are you sure the ice won't fix me?
I would say give it a shot, because also I got one of the very early ones they were making, and I think like any technology, it's probably improved.
Yeah.
But if anybody at GE hears this... You're on my list, is what I'm trying to say. I did not realize this until pretty recently, but you and your husband, the musician and actor, Ahame Fale-Oluo, you shot an entire film.
We did.
Called Thin Skin, and it's now available on Blu-ray and also streaming. Where do people find it?
I mean, unfortunately, we would love for you to find it at Amazon.com. at Amazon.com,
sure.
My favorite company that I love that has done great things for my town, Seattle, Washington.
That you can no longer afford to live in.
Yes, right. Yes, my former town, out of which I have been chased by the minions of Bezos and their millions of dollars. You can please watch it on Amazon. Please watch it on Amazon. We shot it in 2018. We started writing it in 2013, the script. I mean, it's a fully, truly indie movie. We raised all the money. We made all the choices, and it's really good, and it's really sweet and special.
And it's my sense of it is it's somewhat autobiographical to Aham's life.
Yes.
As a musician and as a person who had a complex relationship with his father, who's Nigerian, et cetera.
Yes. It's pretty much, you know, fully autobiographical. It's fictionalized, but all the stuff that happens is real. So, and a lot of stuff happens. So it's like Aham is a single dad in his early 20s. He is working at a dumb job and he's trying to make it as a musician. He's never met his dad. And then his dad calls one day. And he's like, Dad, I'm a musician. And his dad's like, that's disappointing. and then he gets a disease where all of his skin falls off.
Okay.
So that also really happened.
Wow.
Was it stressful to
have all your skin fall off?
Well, I'll ask Aham about that sometime. I feel like that's his story to tell.
Well, it's in the movie. If you want to know more about what
thin
can make...
Thin skin.
Yes. I interrupted you. I'm so sorry.
No, please. I'm just curious because you also were one of the creators of the spectacular Hulu show, Shrill.
Thank you.
Which is just like... I've also actually been to the house where your mom, or at least the character's mom, Julia Sweeney, allegedly lives in the show. It was for sale.
I
sent you a text from there.
I was
like, I'm in your mom's house. But that was a big production with presumably Hulu's money and this crews and catering and all this. And then you and Aham and Charles Mudede, the great Charles Mudede, are making this production from money that you've raised and presumably some of your own resources and finance. Like, was it crazy stressful, just that aspect of it?
Yes, I was an investor. It's such an interesting question because it was actually right on the heels of season one of Shrill. So we finished shooting season one of Shrill in Portland. In mid-September, and then we started the Thin Skin shoot, I think in mid-October. So I was home for a couple weeks, and then we were jumping into this other production, which is such a different animal. And, you know, on the Shrill set, despite being the creator of the show, the person the show is about, ostensibly, the executive producer, I was like a little mouse in my corner. Like, I was like, peep, peep, don't look at me. Like, that was really scary because this is this multi-million dollar production. And I had never made television before and I was terrified. And then I get to set on Thin Skin and then I am like a god because we made it and we're in charge and it is our job to make sure that we use the money right. And so it was like the exact opposite and it was liberating and it was scary.
Yeah.
I think I probably should have been more scared, but in fact, I was like mad with power. And I was exhilarated, and it was like so vindicating after being a kind of a small fish.
Right. We're talking to Lindy West here on Livewire this week. We're at the Patricia Research Center for the Arts here in Beaverton, Oregon. You also have a Substack that I just subscribed to. You just put out a new
just today.
Post today. And it's called Butt News, B-U-T-T News. Now, I have to tell you, and I hope that you take this in the spirit it's intended, I couldn't remember the name of it, and I was Googling Lindy West butt stuff last night, and it's a totally different part of the internet.
AI's really doing a number on
but, me. It's called Butt News, and it actually is, I mean, you're just like one of my very favorite writers. You're so insightful and funny, and it's more of castles on there than I expected as far as like your obsession with castles. I know you were touring a kind of a show about ranking the best castles,
yes.
And you talk about, like, Megan will ask you on your podcast, like, if you've seen this particular show about castles, and you're like, yeah, Mama didn't raise no fool. Like, what is with you and castles?
Well, you have to come see my stage show, Luke.
Okay.
Well, it's not playing anywhere, but...
Does seem like a minor issue with me coming to see it, but okay.
I wrote a one-woman show called Every Castle Ranked, because I'm like a fantasy girl. Like, I grew up, like, reading, you know, just the dorkiest crap you ever heard of, and I... Still, that's what I want. And I was like, I'm going to make this show about castles. And it's really about sort of my dad, my relationship with my own show business dreams, and this tension between, like, I want to be famous and I want to be invisible. Like, I'm very shy and I'm very clowny. Mm. And my grandparents were like radio stars, and my dad was a musician and a very like beloved Seattle musician. And so the show is about what you think you want when you're a little kid, I think, you know, and you want this sort of magical life, and then you are just who you are. And then you have to figure out how to navigate that. So, but butt news.
Yes. Not butt stuff.
No.
Beaverton.
No.
Not butt stuff.
I started Butt News before Substack was really popping off. And I didn't really think I would ever use it or anyone would ever read it. And then a bunch of people subscribed. And you can't change the name. So now it's called Butt News. And I named it that as a joke. And now it's my main outlet.
It's so good, too. It is so good.
Thank you.
Honestly,
I actually really love it.
We're talking to Lindy West here on Livewire this week. Okay, Lindy, as we were talking previously, you and conservative Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley are in lockstep on every issue.
Correct.
But primarily the fact that the History Channel is mostly stuff now that is not really history unless you count Ancient Aliens. So given your intense knowledge on the topic, we wanted to give you a little quiz about the channel. It's a game that we're calling History or Heresy.
Ooh. So good.
Here's how this is going to work. I am going to describe a show for you. It is either something that has actually aired at some point on the History Channel, or it is something that we made up.
Great.
And we would like you to try to decipher which is which, okay?
Okay, great. I'm ready.
A show called Mega Movers. It is a show about moving giant superstructures across the country. Is that History Channel or Heresy?
History Channel.
That is absolutely the History Channel. Woo! You are right.
I tell you, I'm checking the guide all the time, waiting for Ken Burns' horse. That's what I decided I want.
I would watch that.
Right?
Ken Burns' horse?
Right?
100%. Yeah.
Now,
thank you.
There was a review of Mega Movers on the website Screen Rant, and they wrote, it turns out it's not that interesting to watch a giant house move slowly across the country. all right, but how about Ice Walkers, a show about the perilous world of competitive ice walking?
Sounds like History Channel.
That is heresy, my friend. They do have Ice Road Truckers,
right.
Of course. That's a big one. Is that History Channel or is that a different
one? I
don't
know.
What's the channel where everyone's panning for gold all the time?
It's like
I get sucked into that one.
I know, that's pretty fun.
When they
we should go panning for gold.
Legally, can you do that?
Yes,
do you need a special permit?
You just need a pan, right?
It's very sad. It's very satisfying when they pour out this little tiny amount of the gold, and then it's like, that's $80,000.
Yes. They're
like,
that could be us, Luke.
Okay, that could be us, but you playing. How about Duck Racers, a show about the competitive world of duck racing. It follows four families as they raise and race their ducks and put their pride on the line.
That sounds too good. That's got to be heresy.
It is heresy.
I would watch that for sure.
How about It's How You Get There, a show where three people discover different modes of transportation as they journey across the country.
What? That's boring. History Channel.
It is.
Yeah.
That's very real.
This is my new metric.
Yeah.
They use trucks, cars, motorcycles.
Yeah, we know.
ATVs. Hold on. I'm not done listing modes of transportation. Jet skis. Also air travel. That seems like you're phoning it in.
Yeah.
How I got here. Delta.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Look, air balloon, dog sled, horse, then I'll watch it.
Right.
How about like how we don't get there because it's not very practical? That's the kind of thing I would watch.
Right.
Yes.
How about Dirty Old Cars? A show about finding very dirty old cars and cleaning them.
I would watch it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm going to trust my metric, I'm going to say that's heresy.
That is very real, my friend.
That is on the History Channel. I thought it might be real.
It follows the owners of three different detailing shops, one in Mankato, Minnesota, one in Morganton, North Carolina, and one in Marietta, Georgia. And they hunt down dirty and often unrecognizable four-wheeled vehicles and then wash them. And I am with you.
I would watch it.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah. Do you follow the Instagram that where they clean rugs?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Beaverton, anyone seen this? Anyone seen this rug cleaning videos? Is that?
That's
for you.
Up my alley. Although. Okay. Do you think that they dirty the rugs artificially?
I think they've started to.
I think they have too.
Yes.
I think they've been corrupted.
Nothing gold can stay.
No.
It was like
scene ends.
A person was just doing this thing and then they got a lot of clicks and now they're you know, they're priming the pump. You know, the one that I'm really on right now and I've been on for a while is people mostly over in the UK fixing hooves on cows.
Oh my God, I get those too. I love them.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I never knew. I mean, we could talk about this afterwards. I could talk for hours about the cow hoof guy.
Because
they shave it down.
Yeah.
Liquid pours out.
Yeah, it's pus.
Okay,
it's pus.
A cow apparently can just have a big rotten hole inside of its foot. And then this angel man comes, shaves the hoof down.
Releases the pressure.
The cow is like, ah.
Yes.
And then he glues a fake hoof.
Here's what he does. I've lost so many hours of my life to this content. What the little thing they glue on is so that when the cow steps, they don't put any pressure on the owie.
Yeah.
So the other side is elevated. And then they spray an antibacterial on it, and then they wrap it up with like a ACE bandage. And then when that cow walks out of the creche, which is what it's called, and the cow is moving normally, it's the only thing giving me any happiness in this world.
It's incredible.
I feel like that is me going to therapy. Like... It is very uncomfortable for a brief amount of time, but the overall relief is really worth it.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Well, I think we know our next podcast, Lindy. That is how you play History or Heresy, everyone. Lindy West, one more time. That was Lindy West right here on LiveWire. Make sure you check out her podcast. Text Me Back, wherever you get that sort of stuff. Special thanks this episode to Jamshed Mullah of Potomac, Maryland, and Christopher Boterline of Portland, Oregon. Jamshed and Christopher are part of the LiveWire member community. And they are generously supporting our show with a donation, which is super duper vital to the bottom line. I don't know if you've heard, but there's not a lot of money in this public radio game.
And we're able to do this show week in and week out thanks to our wonderful supporters, folks like Jamshed and Christopher. So a big thanks to both of them for keeping Livewire going. You are tuned in to Livewire from PRX. And of course, each week we like to ask our listeners a question. And because we've been talking about Lindy's podcast, Text Me Back, we asked our listeners, what is your texting ick? Like, what is something that somebody can do when texting you that kind of gives you like a not great feeling? Elena, you have been collecting up those responses. What are you seeing?
Okay, how about this one from Nicole? Nicole's texting ick is red exclamation marks. My ex's mother used to text using them all the time, and it felt rude or just impatient or like everything was a constant emergency.
I'm one of those people that overuses the exclamation point as a way of indicating to people that I'm not mad about stuff.
Yes, because if you get a text that ends in a period, you're like, uh-oh.
Day ruined, pretty much. What's something else that gives someone a texting ick?
How about this one from Linda? The ellipsis dot 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 that my mom does in between sentences always makes her texts seem more dramatic than they are. And sometimes I have to call her to make sure she's okay.
Like she's gathering her thoughts.
Yeah. Especially because the dot 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 appears when you see someone composing the message, and that's already anxiety producing. So.
All right. Another texting ick that one of our listeners gets.
This one from Jason is towers of text longer than my iPhone screen. And this is an interesting one because someone else wrote in saying they hated it when people broke a long message up into separate texts so that they would kind of, you would have little breathers. So it is a real minefield depending on who you're texting. Like you could be icking or not icking or...
I also have now started using voice to text, but it's not the time saver I thought it would be.
Especially if it doesn't understand your voice. Like a lot of people just don't have a voice that registers. And so you'll write, thanks, mom and dad, and it'll come up, this man is dead or something.
If you saw me walking down the street doing this, Elena, you would think that I've lost my mind because it's me going, hey, Elena, comma. It's Luke, period. So that was pretty crazy, exclamation point. You know, like I'm narrating all the punctuation too. It just, it's, the whole thing is fairly unhinged. But it's the world we live in, right? So thank you to everyone who sent in your response. We have another listener question for next week's show, which we will reveal in just a bit. First, though, we have to say hi to our next guest who has appeared on over 200 episodes of the podcast, Comedy Bang Bang. His TV credits include HBO's Mr. Show, as well as BoJack Horseman, where he is the voice of Mr. Peanut Butter. But perhaps his most impressive achievement of all time is that he is marking his fifth appearance on the Livewire radio program, which is some kind of record, probably. This is Paul F. Tompkins, who joined us on stage at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland, Oregon. Paul, as we have talked about with you on previous appearances here on Livewire, your full name, your given name is Paul Francis Tompkins.
Correct.
Folks that know you well or maybe just are into brevity often will call you PFT.
Also true.
We were doing some research, though, and we found out that you are not the only PFT out there. There are some other things, occupations, people
occupations.
That share those initials. And we wanted to ask you about those things and people in a little game that we're calling You Down With PFT?
You Down With PFT?
Yeah, you know me.
You Down With PFT?
Yeah, you know me.
Come on, come on, boy, you gotta tell us what it's all about.
All right, on to the game. You Down With PFT? That weird exercise thing that we had to do in school where you did like standing broad jump and then you ran and picked up the erasers and they timed you. That was a PFT. Did they do that in Philly when you were? They must have.
I don't remember that specific thing with the erasers.
Oh, you were in Catholic school too, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is a public school thing. It's a PFT. You got an idea, Elena?
I know what this is.
Okay.
What is it?
Is it the presidential fitness test?
It sure is!
Such a weird concept.
Oh.
Yeah.
So strange that George H.W. Bush had an interest
yeah.
in how quickly I could do the shuttle run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember the ambassador that they appointed for the PFT? Does anybody?
No.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that God, makes, of course.
We had that to watch videos of being like, do the presidential fitness test.
We had that, and then a girl named Alicia Arneson broke both of her wrists doing the shuttle run, because you'd run back and forth and pick these things up. She fell backwards and broke both of her wrists last time they did a presidential fitness test at the school. Probably ever. Just, I think, from a liability standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, because we should keep the government small, and I don't want them in my school. I don't want the government telling my kids how to break their wrists. That's what I got out of the story.
How about a world expert lecturer? By the way, a lot of these we made up. So I want
to
just I want to manage
that's
your
good to know.
But they might be a thing someday.
That's fair.
Currently, maybe not a thing, but potentially a thing, okay? We cast a turns out there's not that many things that use PFT, so we had to get creative. and somebody who would be an expert in constructing the coziest and most elaborate citadel in your home, a PFT.
Mm. Coziest and most elaborate?
Coziest and most elaborate is not necessary. Elaborate. A cozy, elaborate kind of hangout area in your home. It's a P, an F, and then a T. A person who did this.
A well-cushioned domicile.
Yeah.
I'm going to say professor of fuzzy towers.
Ah. Oh, man, that is so close. It's pillow fort technician. I mean,
pillow fort technician. Pillow fort technician.
How about a world expert lecturer on a particular kind of houseplant?
Okay,
so a PFT. So they're a world expert
lecturer.
Some of
these you've made up.
But not this one, amazingly.
What is it again?
It's a world expert, somebody who is an expert lecturer on a particular kind of houseplant. They're a PFT.
Palm frond TED Talker.
Yes!
Oh, that's so good.
I can't believe you got it.
Yes.
Wow.
Did you make TED Talker one word like I did?
We would have also accepted preeminent ficus talker. All right, how about this? This is a real one. An assessment of how well your lungs are working.
Oh.
PFT.
Pulmonary.
Yes.
Fibrose.
No.
Pulmonary. No, don't help me. I need to do it. Pulmonary function.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Close enough. We'll give it to you. Pulmonary function test.
Yay!
How about a Jewish holy book with groan-inducing wordplay? A PFT.
A pun-filled Torah.
That's exactly what it is. Wow. That was impressive. Barney, who sang that I Love You, You Love Me song, much to the annoyance of the parents of America, a PFT. Barney was a PFT.
With purple.
Yes.
We're not allowed to curse.
Sure, we can bleep it up. I just realized how much we're teeing you up with the middle letter being F.
It's really, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's not real?
Purple fake T-Rex?
Yes. Oh, purple fictional Tyrannosaurus. All right. You have gotten so many more of these right than we were expecting. I mean, there's a 0.0% chance of getting these. You've actually legitimately gotten like three of them.
Well, I mean, they are my initials, and I've been called all of these things.
All right, here's the last one. This is a real thing, a medical treatment often used to address laughter leakage or sneeze pee.
Laughter leakage or sneeze pee?
Something that can happen to people for a variety of reasons.
I see somebody whispering. Like, I know what that is. Pelvic fine tuning.
Yeah!
Yes, that's a better name for it. Pelvic floor therapy, forevermore known as pelvic fine tuning. Paul F. Tompkins, the original PFT. That was Paul F. Tompkins right here on LiveWire. Make sure you check out his podcasts, The Neighborhood Listen, and also Varietopia, which are both really great and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm Luke Burbank. That's Elena Passarello. We have to take a very quick break, but do not go anywhere, because when we return, we will hear some music from the ageless king of Portland soul, Ural Thomas, and The Pain. Stick around for this. It's going to be worth it. LiveWire is thrilled to be partnering with Portland's own Portal Tea this season. Formerly known as Tea Chai Tay, Portal Tea is the premier tea company in the Pacific Northwest. They make one-of-a-kind, handcrafted tea blends like cinnamon churro chai and blueberry cream Earl Grey. Use the code LiveWire, all lowercase, for 20% off at portaltea.co. Welcome back to LiveWire from PRX. I'm Luke Burbank here with Elena Passarello. Okay, before we get to our musical guest this week, a little preview of what we are doing next week on the show. We're going to talk to Scott Aukerman. He is the guy behind the show Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. He is going to explain, as if you needed this explained to you, why it's actually pretty hard to roast President Barack Obama, even when Barry, as Scott calls him, is in on the joke. Then we're going to talk to astrophysicist, activist, and now author Serafina El-Badri Nance about her book. It's called Starstruck, A Memoir of Astrophysics and Finding Light in the Dark. She talks about being a woman of color in the STEM field, and also how listening to public radio as a kid started her on her scientific journey. We love stories like that here on the show. Also, we're going to hear some music from Portland's own Family Worship Center, which I promise is way less of a cult than it sounds like. So make sure you join us for that, because, of course, we're also going to be looking to get your answer to our listener question. Elena, what are we asking the LiveWire listeners for next week's show?
Oh, this is a good one. We would like you to describe to us your alter ego.
Okay. If you have a thought on that, go ahead and share it with us via social media. We're at LiveWire pretty much everywhere out there. This is LiveWire from PRX. Our musical guest this week has a really interesting backstory, actually. So let's go back about 20 years. This guy, his name is Ural Thomas, and he is working in the shipyards of Portland. Okay, but before that, years before that, he had been the lead singer of an R&B vocal group called the Monterays, which had a couple of hit songs, but eventually this guy Ural had decided, you know, I'm going to hang it up as a professional musician. I'm just going to do it sort of as a hobby. That was until 2013, when he is hosting this jam session and a local Portland drummer shows up, a guy named Scott McGee, and he hears this dude, Ural Thomas, singing, and he is like, wait a minute, this is something really special. We need to start a band. And so Ural Thomas and The Pain was created. Since that moment, they have now toured the world. They've released 3 albums. And at the tender age of 84, Ural has arrived at the top of his game. And, like, we really mean that. Elena, you and I were both just marveling at how spry Ural Thomas is.
I felt like he was going to teach an aerobics class for the entire audience.
I would have signed up for it. It was amazing. And we're so excited you get to hear it now. This is Ural Thomas and The Pain performing their song, No Distance. This was live at Revolution Hall in Portland, Oregon.
You can walk down any street, you find a place where the people meet. And look up the block at the corner where we like to talk. It only takes a minute to find out everybody's pushing the same route. So don't put no distance between you and me.
your eyes.
I'm on
look no further. I'm on your side. Stop. Take a deep breath. You're gonna worry yourself to death. It only takes a minute to find out. Everybody's pushing the same route. Between you and me, no. Hey! Yeah! Hey!
Happy to see you smile.
I'm so happy. Walk 100 miles for you. Stop and let them hear your words. Hit them with your love like a thunderbird. It only takes a minute to find out we're all pushing the same route. Don't put no distance between you and me. No! Distance. Close up the gap. No distance. I like it like that. No, no, no distance between you and me. Fly a little closer. Put no distance in it. Hey! Rock with it. Everybody rock it on home. Rock it on home. And remember, you're not alone. No distance.
That was Ural Thomas and the Pain right here on Livewire. Make sure you check out their latest album, Dancing Dimensions. And that is going to do it for this week's episode of Livewire. A huge thanks to our guests, Lindy West, Paul F. Tompkins, and Ural Thomas and the Pain.
Laura Haddon is our executive producer. Heather D. Michelle is our executive director, and our producer and editor is Melanie Sevchenko. Eben Hoffer and Molly Pettit are our technical directors, and our house sound is by D. Neil Blake. Trey Hester is our assistant editor. Our marketing and production manager is Karen Pan. Rosa Garcia is our operations associate. Jackie Ibarra is our production fellow, and Becky Phillips is our intern. Our house band is Ethan Fox Tucker, Sam Tucker, A.L. Alves, and A. Walker Spring, who also composes our music. This episode was mixed by Molly Pettit and Trey Hester.
Additional funding provided by the Marie Lampfrom Charitable Foundation. Livewire was created by Robin Tenenbaum and Kate Sokoloff. This week, we would like to thank members Jamshed Mullah of Potomac, Maryland, and Christopher Booterline of Portland, Oregon. For more information about our show or how you can listen to our podcast, head on over to livewireradio.org. I'm Luke Burbank for Elena Passarello and the whole Livewire team. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a piping hot episode of Livewire delivered right to your heart and ears each week? Well, guess what? That can happen when you subscribe to the Livewire podcast feed
and you'll get the joy of surprising conversation every week. So go ahead and do it. It's super easy. You click on the button at the top of your podcast app, and bam, you are LiveWire subscribed. And if you're still, you know, feeling the love, if you're enjoying the show, hey, maybe you could hook us up and leave us a quick review. That'll help more people find out about LiveWire. And thank you.